Welcome back to another episode of the Pack's What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. A clunker, one we didn't want to have to talk about, but obviously felt like it could be the outcome. We knew going into this one it was going to be really close. We said on Pack's What She Said earlier this week, felt like it was going to be 34-31. Whoever had the ball last would win, and that's exactly what happened. So next time, apparently, we need to preface that by saying 34-31. When the Packers have the ball last, yeah. They will win. So that's our fault. You know, maybe we'll save that for the playoffs, but... Yeah, Perry, a really tough one, a fun game, I guess, to watch. You know, high scoring, was a shootout, everything we kind of expected, offensive performances from both teams, and just a little bit short there at the very end.
Yeah, brutal. So winnable, could have been one, just one or two things go differently, and frustrating at times. You know, the Packers did so many good things that I'm sure we will get into. You know, they put up over 30 points, and you would think in any other game that that would be enough to win a game. You get four touchdowns. Jordan Love throws for one. Josh Jacobs has another multi-touchdown game. You look good on the ground. You look good through the air. Your defense gets an interception off of Jared Goff, which is not common. I don't know. I think you look at the stats and you think that's a good day. And yet somehow the Lions end up with the ball to end the game. And they get lucky, quite frankly, on a fourth down conversion that I thought was an asinine decision to go for. But they convert and they're kicking the field goal. And Jordan Love never gets the ball back. I think we'll get into like later down the line, if these two teams see each other again, like what that might look like, but, to positive spin it, I guess the Packers went punch for punch with what's likely going to be the number one seed in the NFC. And I think truly can beat this team. They didn't play necessarily their best football and were definitely down a number of starters, as were the Lions, of course. So if this matchup happens again, they can come away with a win. That's what I took away from this game.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's fair as Packers fans, first and foremost, to have subjective opinions about what we're watching because we have a bias and an innate want for our team to be successful. But one of the takeaways that I had, both while watching the game live and kind of seeing things on like Blue Sky, Twitter, whatever, and then seeing the responses after the fact, was that a lot of like analysts are still very high on this Packers team. And it's kind of what you said, right? It was that this team went toe to toe with a Lions team and they made them look beatable. And for as much as we talked about that Lambeau game where the Lions were beatable and the Packers just, you know, they laid an egg in that performance. This one, they really took him to the wire. And, you know, you could point to the fumble. Like there were moments, right, that it felt like the Packers were kind of shooting themselves in the foot, trying to get back into things. But they had the interception. They capitalized points off of that. And then, you know, the injuries piled up. We saw it happen to the Lions. Their front performed better than we would have expected it to, being down all of the starters that they were down. The Packers were playing some bend, don't break, and then they lost Evan Williams and Javon Bullard. And those are some kind of things you can't come back from when you're already without Jair Alexander. You know, at one point, Sean Ryan goes down and they don't have a backup guard. So their 6'7" tackle is playing right guard briefly. Like, those are things that against really good football teams, it's hard to come back from. So the fact that the Packers hung in there and lost by a field goal, I think, is telling. Yeah, we'll get to the playoff picture at the end of this show, but I think it says a lot about the grit of this team, and it sucks to want it and be that close because, again, close doesn't count, and now you're 0-3 against two NFC North teams that are playoff teams. But, you know, if all in all, an impressive way to lose, if that even makes sense, like if you can say it that way.
Yeah, I don't love it. I don't do moral victories. They don't matter. And I don't love that the Packers are 0-2 now on the Lions. It feels like they have to beat the Vikings now, which we'll get to when we get to that game. It definitely feels like they can. To your point about the injuries, I mean, it's hard not to talk about this game without talking about the injuries. You already mentioned losing Evan Williams, losing Javon Bullard, who apparently was reported to be on crutches. So not a good sign for his availability going forward. You know, you have Zane Anderson playing meaningful snaps on defense. It's not a good day when that's happening. I think the secondary without Jair, we've talked about ad nauseum the last few weeks, that it's a pretty glaring hole when he's not out there. We've seen it now for over a month. We don't need to rehash it. It looked worse last night because you're going up against one of the better offenses in the league, and they were just finding so many holes in the zone. I mean, just the middle of the field was completely wide open the whole game. You know, Eric Stokes, first round pick, comes back from injury. So did Tim Patrick. He missed two seasons from injury and torched him all game. I don't know what they do going forward. I think Carrington Ballantyne has made the case that he deserves those snaps, but at the same time, now you're down three potentially starters in the secondary, and you're going to have to rotate guys regardless of who's playing well or not at this point. But if we felt like this was a need last season, we certainly feel like it's a need going into next season, this offseason. The pass rush isn't doing them any favors either. They got home on Jared Goff once, but they had a plan to evade pressure as well. I mean, this is a very good offensive coordinator who's probably going to get a head coaching job after the season, which, great, good riddance, please go.
To the AFC specifically.
Seriously. So between, you know, not really being able to finish pressure, not being able to get home, them having answers, and the coverage not being able to mitigate some of the pass rush, and the pass rush not being able to mitigate the loss of any of the guys in coverage, they were able to just pass on the Packers defense without hesitation. The guys looked great stopping the run game. You know, they had less than 100 yards on the ground, but it doesn't matter when you can move the ball through the air like they did.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that is what's frustrating, is we talk about like how good this inside linebacking core can be at certain roles. Like Isaiah McDuffie, if you just let him be like a downhill thumper in the run game, that's what you want him to do, right? You don't want him to be in coverage on a screen to Amon-Ra St. Brown. And like that, I think that's what makes this defense so frustrating. For as much as Jeff Hafley gets creative and we really like some of the schemes that he runs, there's also the fact that the Lions converted 80% of fourth downs, which is absolutely ridiculous. The screens were wide open the entire game. Yeah. It's just like, it's like a lack of respect. And I don't mean, you know, in the way that it's just, there's no need to honor the Packers defense in those situations because the conversions at that point are almost automatic. If it's third and five, you know, you're going to pick up six. And I think that is what is so frustrating about this defense. Because unless you get the Keyshawn Nixon great turnover that gives your offense another opportunity, if they don't have that turnover, you know, I think this game looks different. And we talk about the Packers need to play really, really clean football to beat really good football teams. And the Christian Watson fumble led to 3 points for the Lions. And it's almost impossible against really good football teams to play perfectly clean. So if the Packers have to play perfect football to beat good teams, I think that's an indictment of, you know, I guess how far they can go in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. The third down efficiency and the fourth down efficiency, you've already mentioned the fourth down, I think are really key indicators of like the way that this game went, which is they went 7 for 15 on third down. It honestly felt like they were 15 for 15 watching the game and 4 for 5. And on fourth, and you knew going into this game, Dan Campbell is known to be incredibly aggressive, and he's known to go for it, even with a good kicker like Bates in the dome, pretty much being automatic. He's going to punish you, and it works. The Packers have been bad on fourth down for weeks. So when you are scouting them and you see that, if I'm an opposing offense, I am going for it on fourth down because you have not proven to me that you can stop those. Now, he made, again, I think two asinine decisions on fourth down. One worked out well and ended up having them win the game. One did not work out well and gave the Packers incredible field position. Unfortunately, that touchdown, it's that touchdown that got called back, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it led to three.
Yeah. So they were in great field position on the 30, like literally deep in their own territory. And Dan Campbell decides to go for it, which I don't know. I think it's, I could not explain to you that decision other than he trusts his offense, which I guess, why wouldn't you at that point? But
they are the number one offense in points for, like, for a reason. But
you're also going up against, you're not up by multiple scores.
Right.
There's no reason to do that. The defense isn't playing well. Pin the offense back, make them go the length of the field. Jordan Love and company, they were moving the ball. They had a tough first quarter and a half getting themselves set against this defense because the Lions were bringing, you talked about the pressure, some crazy blitz packages to mitigate what they lost in the front. But by the time Jordan Love got used to it, the Packers were able to run their offense. And if the refs hadn't called a non-existent OPI, they would have taken the lead on that drive. And the game probably would have, probably looks completely different. So, you know, again, it's hard to look at this game and say, you know, the Packers didn't play up to their standards. The defense didn't play up to their standards by any means. You should not be that ineffective on third and fourth down. But they also they kept themselves in the game until the very end. And I don't know what else you can ask of them.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that there's a lot to be said about the way that the offense, you know, this is three straight weeks of 30 plus points that the offense is scoring. We talked about how their red zone offense struggled, you know, kind of up until the bye, even in the Bears game, they struggled a little bit. And then they go 4 of 5 for 80% in the red zone. This game, the last two games, they were at like 74% red zone efficiency. Like they're trending upward in the way that you want them to, and they're putting things together. And it's just unfortunate. You know, I think Aaron Nagler and Andy Herman said it on their Let's Talk Football earlier, but like, we beg for complimentary football and then we get it for like a quarter. You know, it's just like, you can't fix all of the things. The penalties were down, you know, and then the defense isn't getting any turnovers. Yeah. You know, previous weeks, and then the defense is generating a ton of turnovers and the offense isn't scoring any points. They're struggling in the red zone. So we're just not seeing them play like this consistent brand of complimentary football. This time we saw the Packers scoring points finally. You know, it's never start to finish, right? The first quarter was a ton of struggles and they cleaned those up and they got comfortable. And at that point you feel like you're kind of behind the eight ball. And I think that is the challenge moving forward, is knowing the caliber of teams, specifically the offenses that you're going to see in the postseason. Is there enough time to remedy that? And how do you remedy that? Like, is this a team that just continues to get better? Now you have some losses on defense that are going to make this worse. Like, a lot of questions, I think, down the stretch.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll talk about those. And I have some thoughts there. There are two things I want to ask you about. Things that I actually haven't seen people discuss too much. Maybe one of them. First was bad day to have one of your worst offensive line performances of the season,
which is so surprising considering the depth at D-line.
100%. And I think that's just a testament to like the way that the Lions defense plays and is coached. And two, the decision to defer all season. When the Packers get the chance, they take the ball first. And in this game, they decided to defer. And I thought that was a really odd choice. I thought in this game, especially, you should take the opportunity to go up and score immediately and first, because you just said, right, the first quarter was a struggle. You're already down 10. And you have to come back, not from a giant hole, but from a hole that's not insignificant. It's two scores. And I do wonder what the thought process is of deferring in this instance, when every other game you see, they opt to take the ball first and kind of put the gas pedal down.
I might be misremembering this, but I thought in the first matchup, the Packers elected to receive, and then Jordan Love throws the pick six going into halftime, and then the Lions got the ball back to start the second half. And there was a part of me that wondered if Matt LaFleur kind of wanted to set the tone as saying, we go out there against the number one offense, get a stop, obviously didn't happen, but you get a stop, and then you get to set the tone for the second half, and you take the ball and you use that like as momentum, because kind of it feels like the Packers have kind of been a second half team the last couple weeks, right? Like they tend to get settled. I don't know if that was part of it, because you know the Jordan Love pick six to Kirby Joseph, and then you trot into halftime and realize that you're down an immediate seven and they have an opportunity to double up on you is really frustrating, you know. So I don't know if that factored into it at all. But yeah, it definitely felt like, I mean, deferring worked for them this time, I guess, when it comes to getting points out of the half, but definitely would have been nice to see them start, because you wonder if they were able to play comfortably and like maintaining a lead, if they would have played a little bit different defensively.
That was my thought process as well, right? Which is, to your point, it only works if you get a stop, and you don't get a stop. And if you trust in your offense to take the first blow, so to speak, and at least put points up and have a lead, I think this defense plays completely differently when they're up. Mm-hmm. And the pendulum swung right back and forth multiple times in this game, but at no point did the Packers ever have that comfortable lead where they play differently on defense. And I don't think and this is total conjecture because we're just hypothesizing, but I don't think that would have ever happened in this game. It was always going to be a close game, but I do wonder if there's something like to the mental side of playing defense, of like starting off with that lead and being able to dictate, which they weren't able to do to start off the game. There was no dictating from this defense.
Yeah. And I mean, I definitely think that Matt LaFleur's teams have matured or grown since the Robert Saleh, you can punch them and they don't get back up. I think his teams have been a lot better at punching back and responding, but it's not often that you see Matt LaFleur as necessarily like the aggressor, to keep using the metaphor, right? Like the teams have been a lot better at punching back and fighting back, and they're never out of it the way that maybe we thought they were in the beginning half of last season. But if there's one thing you know about Dan Campbell, I mean, the dude at his introductory presser got famous for saying biting kneecaps. Like that aggression was the mantra that he was going to take, and the team like lives by it. Mm-hmm. And you saw it. It was chippy and guys were physical. And yes, there should have been some OPI on certain players in certain moments for the physicality, but like the team buys into it. And I'm not saying LaFleur needs to have that energy, but it would be nice to see them dictate instead of responding after things have been dictated to them. Yeah. So I do think that's interesting to think about.
Do you want to talk about the officiating, or are we over that point? We don't have to. I don't.
I think it's just like, you know, if we just kind of gloss over it and say neither of us have ever come on here and truly complained about it. You know, you never want to leave games to the hands of the refs. Obviously, if you do that, you're going to lose football games. You can never trust the outcome. But it certainly was frustrating to feel like there were egregious misses that may or may not have altered the outcome in a way that goes against the final score.
Yeah. My thought process on the officials is like, if you're going to let the kids play, let both kids play. Don't let one kid play and the other get penalized for doing the exact same thing. That's my philosophy on it. If you want to like be trigger happy for both sides. If you want to throw your hands up and say, we're going to let this one be a little rougher, then let this one be a little rougher, but have it be equitable. And I didn't feel that's the way it was being refereed yesterday. That is where I get annoyed. Not necessarily with misses or things being overdone. It's that when it doesn't feel equal.
Yeah. So I think on that, let's maybe shift to our last topic, which is to talk about this playoff picture, because obviously the Packers are still a quality playoff team. I say quality. I don't think they're just going to like eke in here to the playoffs. There's a very realistic chance that they finish the season 13-4. You know, like that's fully possible. It's insane that two of those losses would be against the Lions. All of their losses would have come against playoff teams at that point. But yeah, I mean, like the Packers have a very good shot. Statistically, they have a 96% chance to make the playoffs as it stands. Like you take those gambling odds every single day of the week, right? Like the Packers are a playoff team. Where they rank, I think, is where things get interesting. So the Lions did themselves a favor. They clinched a playoff spot with the win yesterday. They are very likely the number one seed unless they lose a couple down the stretch here. Like if they lose to the Vikings and the Bills and the Eagles win out, then they're the second seed and the Eagles would get the first seed, but likely a first or second seed as expected. Eagles pretty locked up into the second seed or first seed. But then the NFC West, kind of wide open. The NFC South, kind of wide open. Playoff pictures, wild card picture, Packers and Vikings, either fifth or sixth seed each. And then probably the Commanders as the seventh seed. Like the wild cards feel pretty locked up. So knowing that's what the picture looks like, and the Packers are probably playing on wild card weekend as the away team, traveling to either the winner of the NFC South or the NFC West. Where are you sitting with this team? How do you feel about them as a playoff team? Are you comfortable? Like,
I mean, I feel comfortable with this team. I think they are a gritty, good football team. For me, the playoffs come down to like, do the Packers peak at the right time and can they play clean football at the right time? They're capable of it. We watched them do it last season. We have watched them beat good teams this season. Like I want to see the way they play against the Vikings. I want to see the way they play the remainder of this season. I think going to Seattle is going to be big. I think the Vikings game is going to be big. In the bye week, I'm going to say this, made a prediction that the only loss the Packers would have the remainder of the season was to the Lions and they would win out. I still feel like that's a possibility. I still feel like this team is going to start to heat up, and it won't matter that they're a wild card. They could be fifth seed. I feel strongly that they can beat almost everybody in this playoff picture. Anybody that they'll see wild card weekend, I like that matchup. But it's about the Packers not beating the Packers to me in those weekends. When you get to the tougher teams, the teams that they've lost to that they might see, then we start talking about like legitimately, do they stack up on paper and in execution? But I think wild card weekend is just about going out there and playing their a good brand of football and not beating themselves up.
Yeah, and maybe this is like too optimistic of a take, so you can tell me. But I think, you know, I'm not going to say, of course, that the Lions' loss was their most complete game of the season because they lost. But it still feels like the arrow is pointing up. In the same way we talked about the Bears' win as saying, well, this could be like the momentum that they need. They almost lost this one. They almost let it get away from them. The Lions' game feels like it can have the same effect because this is a Packers team that is still ascending and showed that they can go toe-to-toe, and they don't want to be the little brothers of the division, right? Like, it's frustrating when you are the Packers and you have won the most Super Bowls and you've been to the most playoffs in your division, and all of a sudden there's, like, a new kid on the block. And the Packers obviously didn't want to go 0-2 against this Lions team, especially, you know, knowing how chippy that game was. So I think in the same way that that Bears win provided momentum, this loss can be what continues to motivate this team, even though on the stat sheet it's an L.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about this loss is that other than it being a loss to a division rival that's now becoming, to your point, like the division rival, which is so crazy to say about the Lions, it doesn't necessarily impact the Packers too much when it comes to like long-term standings in the league and in the playoffs. The Packers went into this game really with nothing to lose and everything to gain from winning this game. The Lions had everything to gain from winning this game, to maintain. They are going for the division title. They are going for the number one seed. Every win counts. So the Packers could have gone in and played a little bit of spoiler, which I think I would have really appreciated. But from a loss standpoint, it doesn't affect them. You said it before, they're locked in at 5 or 6. You want to win these games. You want to stack successes for a number of other reasons, for, you know, winning is a mentality. Nobody likes losing. You want to play good football. You want to get into good habits. You want to show the league who you are. You don't want people to, you know, you want people to fear you at this time of year. I think they still put up enough on tape that they're still going to be taken seriously over the course of the rest of this season. And when the loss doesn't really matter, it's an easier pill to swallow. I doubt the guys in the locker room feel that way, but from a fan perspective, I can at least say, well, at least this win isn't making it so they're fighting for the 7th seed now.
Yeah. And I mean, I think what is so fascinating about this is that the Vikings still have like a 99% chance to make the playoffs. Like the Packers, their division will have 3 playoff representatives, and it is very likely, obviously it won't be on wild card weekend, but it is very likely that in the divisional round or in the championship, like they're going to have to beat a division rival to get to the Super Bowl. And, you know, whether if they're the 5th seed, they probably are like playing the Vikings. I don't know. But if the Vikings end up as like the 6th seed and the Vikings win on wild card weekend, then the Vikings go to Detroit. Right. So like, I guess if you're a Packers fan, maybe you hope that one of them knocks the other one off. So your path is, you know, you don't have to be the one to do it. But yeah, I mean, there's a very realistic possibility that the NFC championship is 2 NFC North teams. And that is a testament to how good this division is this season. And also, you know, another at like to be the best, you got to beat the best, right? And right now the Packers, unfortunately, their 4 losses have come to the Lions, the Vikings, and the Eagles, who they potentially could see in the divisional round here as well. So
I think this also skews the way we view the Packers, right? In terms of if they're in any other division, nobody's questioning their dominance. Nobody's questioning their losses to those 4 teams. They're 9-4. They're one of the best teams in the league. They're top 10 in every important metric, and they're top 10, probably top 5 still in power rankings. Jordan Love is playing one of the best quarterbacks in the league since he got healthy, but they just happen to be playing in one of the toughest divisions. And so when you're 3rd in your division, I think you're always going to be seen as lesser or not as successful simply because you're 3rd. But I don't think being in the NFC North and having a winning record and playing the way that they do should nothing about what the Packers are should be diminished by the fact that they are in the hardest division in the league right now.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's really well said too. If you look at like the AFC North, right, you've got the Steelers who are 9-3, then you've got the Ravens who are 8-5. And if anything, I think people take the Ravens more seriously than the Steelers because of the Steelers offense, and the Ravens are poised to be a wild card. So it's just, you know, I guess, you know, to be the best again, you have to beat the best. And unfortunately, a lot of the best this season is coming out of the NFC North. But we talked about it a little bit pre-show, and I think we joked about it on the actual show. It is really, really hard to beat the same team 3 times. And we've seen that, you know, the Packers have been on the opposite end of that in playoff scenarios in the past. But, you know, it's hard to game plan for a team twice, let alone 3 times. So I think the playoff or the regular season game against the Vikings as well here is going to be really telling. They could see the Seahawks again down the stretch, right? If they end up playing the NFC West in wildcard weekend, they'll have played them already in the regular season. So there's a lot to build off of and a lot of, you know, like foundational knowledge that these teams will have seeing each other again. It'll be very familiar.
Yes. I love that adage. It's very hard to beat a team 3 times. So we just keep that we keep that energy. I hope the Packers keep that energy. They keep getting closer to beating the Lions. And quite frankly, if they do it in the playoffs, that's the only time it matters.
Yeah, well said. You know, we thought that it was going to happen last year, right? There was an opportunity to have it the NFC Championship game at Ford Field. And, you know, could happen again this year. We'll have to see. But I think that's a good place probably to wrap this one up. You know, I think the optimistic take here that we're trying to leave you with is that the Packers are still a really good football team. And there's certainly things that we want them to do better and clean up, and the injuries are going to sting, and we'll have to see the longevity of those and what that looks like. But this is a really, really good football team. And I think Packers fans should still be excited about the direction this team is headed, because I do really think that they're still ascending, you know, assuming that the injuries are things that they can overcome here. I think their best football is still ahead of them. And you always want your best football to be played in December, not September. So there you go. Any final thoughts?
No, just glad they have a few extra days of rest before going to Seattle. I think that's going to be key for them. And we look ahead now to go get another win in the win column.
Yeah, Packers take care of business on Sunday night. Bills, do us a solid take. Just, you know, there are some moral victories here in the NFL. Like, if the Bills win, we'll take that one. But yeah, it's going to be really, really fun to see how the NFC shakes out down the stretch here. A lot of teams playing for not a lot of open playoff spots at this point, specifically in the West. Seahawks are going to really want this one. And we'll see how the South shakes out, because a Vikings-Falcons wildcard weekend would be like an NFL scriptwriter's dream. So
yes.
All right. Thank you, as always, for listening to the show. You can find us on Twitter at PWSS Podcast, Blue Sky at Pax What She Said, YouTube at Pax What She Said, all over Spotify, everywhere you listen to your favorite podcast. Thank you so much for the support. If we were in your Wrapped, on your podcast Wrapped, Spotify Wrapped, that was very, very cool to see. So thank you so much. You can find Perry at Perry _ Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. And we'll be back next week to talk about Packers and Seahawks on Sunday Night Football. Lots to play for. Good football team, 9-4. And they're going to make a run, and it'll be fun to watch. So go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.